Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place Radhakund is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and is very dear to Lord Krishna. Purport. This verse is from the Padma Purana and is included in the Lagu Bhagavatam Rita 2.1.45 by Srila Rupa Goswami. It also appears in the Adi Leela chapter 4 verse 2.1.5 and again in the Madhya Leela chapter 18 verse 8. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the text again, just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place Radhakund is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. So we've come a long way in these discussions between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These discussions, which are known as Ramananda Samvada, is accepted within the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition to be one of the highest and most essential teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy. And I'll quickly go through the journey to where we got here, because it's very important, context is very important. So Sri Chaitanya and Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, they met in a place in South India called Vijayanagar. And it was a much anticipated meeting for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had heard about the glories from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he was implored by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to please meet Ramananda Rai, who was a very great devotee. So the Lord met with Ramananda Rai, and they started to have in the evenings these very important discussions. And the discussion starts off with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Ramananda Rai a question. And the question was, what is the ultimate goal of life? can you please tell me what is the ultimate goal of life and support it with evidence from the scriptures? So Ramananda Rai starts off by saying that the ultimate goal of life, as described in the Vishnu Purana, is to follow the Vanashram Dharma system. And by following the Vanashram Dharma system, we can attain the ultimate goal. That was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, this is a material system. The four Vanas and the four Ashramas. In one sense, it's not spiritual at all. So you have to say something higher. Then Ramananda Rai said, oh, okay. So better than just following occupational duties is to give up the fruits of our work. That is higher. Phalatyag. Phalatyag. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. Mahaprabhu basically said, we know people very well. They are very attached to their fruits. It's very hard for people who have no spirituality to give up the fruits of their work. So you have to, that's external. You have to go higher. So Ramananda Rai said, oh, okay. Let me now speak about Swadharma Tyag. If they're too attached, they can't give up the fruits. Let them give up the duties, the Swadharmas. That's called renunciation. And Mahaprabhu rejected that, saying, no, if you simply, without having any attraction for the Lord or spirituality, you give up, you'll become essentially a jnani who is simply interested in study and austerity. Nothing to do with spiritual life. So, forget it, it's external. So Ramananda Rai said, okay, what now? After giving up the fruits of our activity, let me propose something that is renunciation with some bhakti in it. So he proposed Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not interested in anything mixed. Mishra. Forget it. Forget it. Ramananda Rai then proposed something which appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the famous verse quoted by, spoken by Lord Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stanastita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayasto jita jito api asitas tri lokyam. You all must have known this verse. Srila Prabhupada, in most of his lectures, he quotes this. Stanastita shruti gatam tato san manobir. You must have heard this, Prabhupada's lectures. So this verse by Lord Brahma, I'll read it out to you. Lord Brahma says, my dear Lord, these devotees have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or any social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always inconquerable. And for the first time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eko haya agekara hara. Before that, he was rejecting everything. Eko bhaya. That is external. And for the first time, he says, Eko haya age kaha ara. That is all right. That is all right. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was now accepting the core principle of staying in one's position, but chanting and hearing the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna. That's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy with. But he says, you have to go higher. Why higher? Because hearing and chanting is the core principle of sadhana bhakti, regulative devotional service. And the driver for regulative devotional service is the injunctions of the scripture and the guru. That is the main driving force in sadhana bhakti, the injunctions of the scripture and the order of the guru. There is no spontaneous attraction. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you have to go higher, beyond sadhana bhakti to rag bhakti. And then that's where, when Ramananda Rai starts to discuss the different types of rasas. And he starts off by discussing the Dasya Ras. And very beautiful verses in Dasya Ras. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, can you go a little higher? Not rejecting it. Can you go a bit higher? And then Ramananda Rai discusses Sakya Ras. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's very good. But can you go higher? And then he describes Vatsalya Ras. Vatsalya Ras, he describes, and it is explained in the purport that while we have Santa Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. Santa Ras, there is love of God. There is prema. But the affection is not very strong. So higher, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the affection has to go higher. So Dasya Ras was described. But then Mahaprabhu was saying, there in Dasya Ras, there is the feeling of subordinate. There is the Lord, there is us. There is a lack of confidence because of the subordinate servant relationship. So Mahaprabhu says, you've got to add confidence. Confidence means the Lord and us are equal. That's Sakya Ras. The coward boys, the Sakas, they can climb on Krishna's shoulders. They can have lunch together like equals. So there's the added dimension of confidence and equality. But there's an increased level of affection where one feels that we are greater than the Lord. And that's Vatsalya, parenthood. So that's higher. So after describing Sakya Ras, Mahaprabhu says, go even higher. And the going higher, the highest platform is Madhurya Ras, where there is complete freedom of expression. Even in Vatsalya Ras, between parent and child, there is some boundaries, and the child can't cross some borders. You are the child, I'm the parent. So there's not complete freedom of expression. So in Madhurya Ras, one reaches a stage of complete freedom of expression. And that's the love of the gopis. So where we have arrived in the verses we're discussing today is at Madhurya Ras. And we started off with text number 95. So we'll just go through those verses before we come, because they're also very important. So we started off, although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles a Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. So when we follow this discussion between Ramananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are some very distinct aspects of the discussion. Firstly, Sri Ramananda Rai would make a statement. And then he would support his statement by Shastric evidence. This is a preliminary requisite for a Vaishnava philosophy. Everything we say, every statement we make, has to be supported with evidence. Pramana. And the pramana is the Vedic pramana. So you'll see in this conversation, that's a very clear theme. Ramananda Rai will make a statement, he'll support. So what support is he given thus far to demonstrate that the love of the gopis is the supermost? There's three pieces of evidence. This verse 95 is the second. The first evidence, he quotes verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna makes an admittance, he makes a declaration, that the love of the gopis is so great. It's so great that he feels incompetent and unable to reciprocate. Krishna says, I can't. This was the previous verses we've been studying and reading. I can't reciprocate. It's too great. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Jai Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So that was the first evidence. This verse, 95, which essentially says that when Krishna is in the association of the gopis, what happens to him? He becomes more beautiful. Ordinarily, Krishna is very beautiful. But when he's in the company of the gopis, he becomes more beautiful. And then the next verse, text number 96. Sorry, that's 95. What did I do, Mrs.? Oh, sorry, that was the previous verse. 94. In 94, it speaks about Krishna's sweetness. That when Krishna is in the company of the gopis, he becomes even more sweet. So the three evidences are, first, Krishna declares he is defeated by their love, he cannot reciprocate. Secondly, his sweetness increases. And thirdly, his beauty increases. This is what Ramananda Rai is saying. Very beautiful verses. So after hearing this, what does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection. But please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more." He says, "Kripa kari kaha jadi age kichu hai." He doesn't say, go higher. He says, very humbly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, if there is more, please say more. Now, the idea behind this question by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he's already established that the love of the gopis is the topmost. Is that even within Madhurya Ras, within conjugal love, there is conjugal love in Vaikuntha. Lakshmi Devi is there. There is conjugal love in Dwaraka within Krishna and his wives. There is conjugal love in Vrindavan within Krishna and the gopis. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to establish the supreme position of Srimati Radharani. It so happens among the various sampradayas. Even the Vaishnava sampradayas, Srimati Radharani's position is not really established. If you go and you keep the association of the other sampradayas, there is not much mention of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to extract that. He wants Srimati Radharani to be glorified. Then Ramananda Rai replies. He says, until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. So Ramananda Rai is saying, I've spoken the highest. I've spoken the highest, but you want me to even say something more. And then Ramananda Rai says, okay. All through this conversation, I have taken the position like I am the puppet. I am the puppet, and just as the puppeteer pulls the strings and the puppet moves, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are putting words in my mouth, and I'm speaking. I'm speaking. It says in the beginning that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described to be like an ocean. And Ramananda Rai is like a cloud. And just like the cloud extracts water from the ocean and then pours the water back onto the ocean, Sri Ramananda Rai was getting what to speak from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than he was speaking. So he's saying, you're asking me for something more. What more? Nobody in this ever before has ever asked for more. But I'm the puppet, you can speak through me. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this verse here, the previous verse, 96, 98, among the loving affairs of the gopis, Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. And then text number 99. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, a bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. And then we have this purport. Now, generally when we speak, we take guidance on what to say by looking at the purport. Yeah? The purport, because we are Prabhupada Anugas. What we want to speak is we want to be very loyal to the tradition, and we want to speak and be guided by Srila Prabhupada's purport. So when I saw this purport, I'm thinking, three lines. We are talking about Srimati Radharani, the highest personality. And all Prabhupada is doing is saying, you can find the same verse in Padma Purana. You can find the same verse twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I thought to myself, oh, okay. I got an idea. I'll go to these other verses, two verses Prabhupada has quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There must be a purport there. And I'll take those purports for my class today. So I go to the first purport in Adi Leela. Three words. This is a verse from Padma Purana. Okay. Let me go to Madhya Leela chapter 18 now. Okay. Go to Madhya Leela chapter 18. This is a verse from Padma Purana. What am I going to speak on today? I want to be loyal to Srila Prabhupada. So that was my dilemma for today's class. What to speak on this, the highest of subject matters. And it did make me wonder, you know, Srila Prabhupada is giving many purports in this chapter. But when we come to the highest, he closes down. Now we all know that Srila Prabhupada is the greatest devotee of Srimati Radharani. From childhood, his father Gaur Mohan Dey, whenever a sadhu would come to his house, he would say, please bless my son that he will become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he used to say that a devotee of Lord Vishnu is called a Vaishnav. A devotee of Krishna is called a Krishnite. And a devotee of Srimati Radharani is called a Gaudiya. So we are Gaudiyas. We are Gaudiyas. We come from the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. We are Gaudiyas. So we are worshippers of Srimati Radharani. We are worshippers of Srimati Radharani. And she is our most worshippable object. She is the queen of Vrindavan. I remember His Holiness Krishnadas Maharaj, I was once giving a class, and he was telling us about how he first went to Vrindavan. And when he first went to Vrindavan, he arrived. And the first scene that confronted him, he was in a narrow street, you know, in the little alleys of Vrindavan. And there were two cyclists coming in opposite direction. And they were coming, and there was an inevitable collision going to take place because no one was giving way. And what did the cyclist say? Radhe, Radhe! Radhe, Radhe! They wanted to say, get out of the way! Move out! And when Maharaj saw that, they were not saying anything else but Radhe, Radhe! He's thinking, wow, this is a special place. I need to stay here. And he decided to stay in Vrindavan. And even we have a experience when we go to Vrindavan. Even the rickshawala, the simple rickshawala, they'll be pedaling along and they'll say, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Because Srimati Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. So we will read, actually we're only halfway, a third through this chapter. This chapter is about 300 verses. We're only about 100 verses, so there's much more to come. And what's more to come is about Srimati Radharani. I once heard a class by a senior Vaishnav, and he was describing Srimati Radharani. And he said, in Srimati Radharani, there is not a thought, there is not a word, there is not a movement, there is not an action that is not there to please Krishna. Every aspect about the being of Srimati Radharani is to please Krishna. Can you imagine that? You know, everything, absolutely everything, every sight, every word, every thought, every action is simply to please Krishna. We will never find that. We'll find that in the gopis. The gopis are like that. Their entire being is to please Krishna. But in Srimati Radharani, we find a personality that is not only in that consciousness where an entire being, an entire existence is one of pleasing Krishna, but she's also the most capable in pleasing Krishna. Srimati Radharani is endowed with 25 transcendental qualities. And each of those qualities are insurpassable in pleasing Krishna. One extraordinary quality we are all aware of is her cooking. She's been cooking for Krishna since time immemorial. But every day, she has never repeated a same preparation. Can we imagine that? Cooking every day for eternity, but never repeating a preparation? How expert will that be? Even in dancing, there is no one who can surpass Srimati Radharani in a dancing. So Srimati Radharani, her consciousness is her entire existence, and that's explained in later verses in this chapter. Her entire existence is not there to please, but she's fully and completely able and capable, like no one else, to please Krishna. To please Krishna. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, we hear that the highest stage of love of Godhead, I think it's chapter number 19, it describes prema. Prema means love of Godhead. So, what many of us are not so aware of is that there are stages above prema. There's seven stages above prema. There is sneha, there's man, there's pranaya, there's rag, there's anurag, there's bhava, and there's mahabhava. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has translated each of these stages as sneha means affection. Man means counter love. And he translates as anger-based love. Pranaya is love. Rag is attachment. Anurag is sub-attachment. Bhav is ecstasy. And Mahabhav is complete ecstasy. To enter Vaikuntha, we can have simple prema. But to enter Vrindavan, even in Dasya Ras, we have to have rag. We have to have rag to enter Vrindavan. So Srimati Radharani, in terms of ecstasy or love for Krishna, she displays the highest level, which is called Mahabhav. So Srimati Radharani's love, when it's directed to Krishna, it is called Mahabhav. Srila Prabhupada, we will notice in his writings, he doesn't talk very much about that Mahabhav. Srila Prabhupada gives more focus to a different aspect of Srimati Radharani's love. When that love is directed towards Krishna, it's called Mahabhav. When that love is directed towards the jivas, the living entities, what is that called? Karuna. Karuna, mercy. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he is known as Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is the most munificent incarnation of Lord Krishna. Why? Because he's coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that mood of Srimati Radharani, when it's directed towards the living entities, that is Karuna. And Srila Prabhupada, that was his mood. That was his mood. And we all know that mood was displayed when he wrote his beautiful poem, the very first stanza in the Jaludutta, Krishna taba punya habe pai, e punya koriba jabe, radharani kushi habe, dhruva ati bola tomotai. That's the very first stanza. And Srila Prabhupada says, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Only when Krishna tava punya habe bhai, he punya koriba jabe, Radharani kushe habe, dhruva ati bole tomatai. So Srila Prabhupada has thought that we, as Gaudiyas, who seek the mercy of Lord Krishna, we try, Srila Prabhupada says, we obtain the mercy of Srimati Radharani through the spiritual master. There are some deities of Radharani in different parts of the world. She is holding a garland. Sometimes she's dancing. How is Srimati Radharani? She's giving blessings in that mood of Karuna. Karuna. She's giving blessings to us. She's giving blessings to us. And that is what Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture he gave with the Bila family. They said, Swamiji, come and give a talk and select a topic. And they said, actually, no, we'll select a topic for you. Can you speak on how to be successful in life? So Srila Prabhupada spoke at the Birla family home, how to be successful in life. And he said, his talk was based on two. He said, we have the choice of serving the external energy personified by Durga Devi, or we can serve the internal energy personified by Srimati Radharani. And then Prabhupada went on to explain that how the living entity, we the jivas, by serving Srimati Radharani, that's how we attain full success in our life. For many of us, at least myself, who's so entangled in serving the external energy, it seems like Srimati Radharani, the internal energy, is far away. The material modes is nearby. But if we look at it carefully, from the very beginning of our spiritual life, Srimati Radharani is there. The moment we come into Krishna consciousness, immediately we all have the experience that we feel a certain type of bliss that we've never felt before. And Srila Prabhupada explains that bliss is the Ladini Shakti. Bhakti is the property of Srimati Radharani. It's the Ladini Shakti. So that initial bliss we feel is our first contact with Srimati Radharani. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, we are also in contact constantly with Srimati Radharani. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Prabhupada explains, Hare comes from Hara. Hara means the energy, which is Srimati Radharani. So whenever we chant, we say, O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So Srimati Radharani is there with us as sadhakas all the time. All the time. And then Prabhupada said, once asked the question, what is the mood, what is the spirit of Srimati Radharani? That is the spirit of the Guru. It is the instruction and is the mission of the Guru. And what is Srila Prabhupada's main instruction? Once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture and he asked the question. He said, what is the meaning of love? What is the symptom of love? What is the main symptom, the primary symptom, the highest symptom? And then Prabhupada answered this question. Does anyone know how Prabhupada answered his own question? He said, the main symptom, the primary symptom, the highest symptom of love is that the devotee wants to see his Lord glorified far and wide. I actually got that video clip. It's a black and white video clip. Prabhupada speaks these words. They're so potent. And Prabhupada says, that is Srimati Radharani's mood. She wants to bring jivas to Krishna. She wants to bring servants to Krishna. There's a famous story I always say, that once Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to one disciple, and he gave him the name Bhavananda. And then this devotee wanted to know, what is the meaning of my name? And Prabhupada said, Bhavananda means the bliss of the material world. And the devotee said, what? We all know material world is miserable. And Prabhupada is giving me a name, the bliss of the material world. I've got to find out from Prabhupada what he meant by this. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, you said that my name means the bliss of the material world, but constantly you are telling us the material world is miserable. And Prabhupada said, I can explain. Prabhupada says, in the material world, the jivas, the living entities, are suffering. But at some point in time, when a jiva meets a devotee, he gets the message of Krishna, and he turns his head towards Krishna. Krishna feels the greatest bliss at that moment, when a jiva, a living entity, turns his attention back to him. So Prabhupada says, yes, there is a bliss in the material world, and that bliss is preaching. It's preaching. Because when a jiva turns to Krishna, Krishna experiences the greatest bliss. So that is the mood of Srimati Radharani. The mood of bringing jivas to Krishna to give Krishna that bliss. And Prabhupada says, this is the mission. This is the instruction of the spiritual master. This is the instruction of the spiritual master, preaching. So the servants of Srimati Radharani, following the mood of Srimati Radharani, they engage in the Sankirtan movement of preaching Krishna consciousness and bringing souls and living entities back to Krishna. Time has gone so much, but I wanted to really speak about a bit about Radhakund. Radhakund, because it is such an integral part of this verse. And we know that this beautiful book, Nectar of Instruction, Sri Upadeshamrit, it takes us to the various stages in bhakti. There's essentially three stages: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So Srimati Radharani has made herself very accessible to us sadhakas, in one sense, through coming or manifesting in the form of Sri Radhakund. Sri Radhakund is situated at the northernmost tip of Govardhan Hill, right next to Shyamakund. And as we read in the Nectar of Instruction, that Sri Radhakund is the topmost place in the entire universe. In text number 9, Srila Rupa Goswami writes, "The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarine prem of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill?" So we hear that we have Vaikuntha. Above Vaikuntha is Mathura. Mathura is higher because there is Vatsalya Ras. Krishna takes birth there. And above Mathura is Vrindavan. Vrindavan because Krishna performs his pastimes there. And above Vrindavan is Govardhan. Why is Govardhan higher? Because the Rasa Leela is performed there. And above Govardhan is Sri Radhakund, because it's the place of Srimati Radharani. And then there's text number 10, which I will come back. And then there's the final text number 11, which I would like to read. It's very, very important. "Of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, a divine Kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to her. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused." And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he at once takes a bath in Radhakund." Dear devotees, how many of you all have taken bath in Radhakund? Could be. Yeah. Taking with. So some of us, or many of us, have taken bath in Radha Kund. But here it says, if you take bath, at once we develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis. So we've taken bath, maybe once, maybe twice, even more than once. Have we felt the prema? I can say, I think I've taken maybe 3 times a bath. I'm not feeling the prema. Why? What's the explanation? Srila Prabhupada explains it. Actually, once, before I go to that, there were some disciples of Srila Prabhupada during his time. They read Nectar of Instruction. They read these verses. They say, Rupa Goswami is instructing us. We should take bath at Radha Kund and we should live at Radha Kund. And they were going and swimming. And news came back to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, this is what's happening. Your disciples are staying at Radha Kund. Some of them, they're taking bath. What should we say? They are saying that they are following your book, Srila Prabhupada. Your purport is saying here. So they are saying they're following your purport. And they're living in Radha Kund. And what was Srila Prabhupada's response? He said, just see. Just see. Huh? They haven't even followed the first verse of this book. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udara pasta vegam etan vegam yo visha eta dira sarvam api mam prithivim sashishat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the action of anger, and the urgence of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. He said, just see. They haven't followed any of the subsequent verses, but they want to follow the 9th, 10th, and 11th verse. Let them follow the first verse first. And Prabhupada and the Acharyas explain the same for us. As we follow the prior instructions, and those instructions get embedded in our consciousness, and we are fully able to follow those previous verses, then when we take bath in Radha Kund, we will feel the prema. The prema. And I just wanted to conclude, it's a very interesting aspect here, because about staying in Radha Kund, you know, sometimes we may have aspirations after reading this book. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he takes a step back after speaking text number 9. But essentially, I'll paraphrase because of the interest in time. Prabhupada says here, talking about Radha Kund, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund lake is profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved to the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional service, render loving service to the divine loving couple. So what is this verse saying here? This verse is saying if we have any aspirations to live in Radha Kund, we can only live there in our spiritual body. So what does that mean? What does it mean to live in our spiritual body at Radha Kund? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that very nicely in one conversation with Sanatana Goswami. Essentially, we know the pastime. Sanatana Goswami was traveling. He was living in Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri. He was traveling from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. He passed through the Jarikanda forest. When he passed through the Jarikanda forest, he drank some contaminated water. When he drank that contaminated water, he developed sores all over his body. Oozing pus. And when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, ran towards him, wanted to embrace him. And Sanatana Goswami was thinking, I am so contaminated. If my body touches the Lord, it'll be a great offense. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what time we finish on Saturdays? Is it 1:45? Okay. I'll paraphrase it. But essentially, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatan Goswami, and this is from Antya Leela chapter 4, actually, your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives his opinion about how a person completely engaged in the service of the Lord transforms his body from material to transcendental. He says a pure devotee engaged in the service of Lord Krishna has no desire for his personal sense gratification, and thus he never accepts anything for that purpose. He desires only the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And because of his ecstatic love for Krishna, he acts in various ways. Ecstatic love is Srila Prabhupada's translation for bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti. So essentially, obtaining one's spiritual body means being at the stage of bhava bhakti. Because at the stage of bhava bhakti, one's body becomes completely infused with the Samvit and the Ladini Shakti. One's body becomes spiritual. And Prabhupada gave the common example that if you take an iron rod and you put it in fire, that rod then emits light and heat. It becomes fire. So in the same way, this body, when it comes in contact with the Ladini and Samvit Shakti, it becomes spiritual. Therefore, we say the spiritual master, the senior Vaishnavas, they don't have a material body. Their body is spiritual. We don't cremate it. So it means in our spiritual body, we need to be at the stage of bhava bhakti before we can have any thoughts of residing at Sri Radha Kund. There's much more to say on that, especially from this chapter, but because of the lack of time, I'll stop here. I'll take any questions or comments that anyone has. Hare Krishna Prabhu. For 1 minute, probably the mic will come, then others can hear.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Prabhu. You said that only in the Madhuryaras there is a freedom of the expression, but what about the Sakas? They play with Krishna, you know, like joking and...
Can you speak a bit louder, Prabhu? Sorry, I can't hear.
I said that, you know, you said in that in the Madhuryarasa is only the freedom of the expression, but what about the Sakas? They play as well with Krishna, joking, and, you know, it seems like there is no boundaries as well.
You're correct, because they are on the equal level. There is freedom of expression. But the acharyas explain that is, like in Vaishnava philosophy, we have complete, more complete, and most complete. So there's freedom of expression, there's more freedom of expression, and there's most freedom of expression. So there's freedom of expression than Sakya Ras, but there's most freedom of expression in Madhurya Ras.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
It's not really a question, but I just wanted to praise you in your presentation of this verse. I was just thinking that you've had such little purport to elaborate on, but you gave such an amazing class. It's really, really nice. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Go Premanande Haribol.